Hey there, thanks so much for tuning in to the City Light Church podcast. We're so honored you've joined us. We hope that today's podcast brings you hope, encouragement, and most of all, adds value to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. We long to see people grow from where they are closer to where God desires them to be, and it's our hope that this podcast is an essential element in that process for you. So grab a pen, your Bible, and a journal, and let's dive into today's message.
So much fun. Can I brag on you guys for a minute? Because there's so many of you guys are amazing. There's so many folks in this place that just love Jesus. I have been around you all in this community and in this church. And in this weekend, I was at one of our group meetings. We don't know what we call it. It's just some of you guys got together at a house and ate together this weekend. And this happens. Several small groups do this on a regular basis. But boy, the presence of God was in that house and just ministered one to another. It was just beautiful. And that's who you guys are. It's authentic. It's just who you are. You're not perfect. And I want you to hear this. I'm not perfect. Amen? Really? But really, I'm not. I can hear my wife amening from the car. She's driving back from Greenville this morning. Amen. We're not. But I don't embrace my imperfections. I embrace His holiness and His wholeness. I embrace that. I embrace His presence, and I drive into that because in His presence is where all of that fire from the altar burns out. Everything that is not like Him that's in me, He just burns it out. I don't have shame, right? I run into my Father's presence, and I receive His healing. I receive His acceptance, not of my brokenness, but of me, my identity, the way He created me, because He sees me with prophetic eyes. He sees me as He created me to walk in the power and the anointing that He deposited into my life, and He sees you the same way. The same way. You say, Pastor Ken, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I've been through. And you don't know where I've been either. And some of that information, we just need to keep to ourselves. Right? And sometimes the Lord uses our stories to share with each other and encourage each other. So that's okay too. Praise God. Man, this is good. We could probably just close right there. It's been good. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many of you know Matthew 28, verse 19 or 20? You know what that is? The great co-mission, right? The great co-mission. And Jesus is simply saying in this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples of all nations. Nations, there is the word ethnos, means red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Everyone, if they have a heartbeat, go minister to them. And he says, I want you to do this thing. And then I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking. And then I want you to teach them everything that I've taught you. So this commissioning is... You are partners. You have a partner in the mission. And your partner is Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He wants to, Acts 1 and 8, He wants to endue you with power. Amen. To do this. This is why after He gave this commission, He said, now I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to stay in the upper room. I want you to pray and I want you to stay there until you're endued with power. And then you can carry on this work. And you go, well, what does that look like? Power to do what you couldn't do, right? Power to articulate what you couldn't say. Power to dominate those things that used to dominate you. What do you mean by that? Sin. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's greed, maybe it's anger, maybe it's whatever. We keep driving into the presence of God and submitting that thing and saying, I need more Holy Spirit. I want to dominate this. I will not be controlled by lust or greed or what have you. Amen? So He says, I want to endue you with power. Manifestation of that can be super, it can be natural, or it can be supernatural, right? So a lot of times what we see, and Chuck mentions it, we have gifts, is that sometimes we take the Holy Spirit and we massage the Holy Spirit over to the power gifts. And the Holy Spirit's involved in all of the gifts. Do you know when you care, when you give care for a family member, when you make a pot of soup, when you give to a ministry, when you do cook, or when you go by and use manual labor and you help, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in control of your heart going by and minister in very natural ways. That's super natural. Why? Because the brokenness of humanity doesn't want to give away time. It doesn't want to give away its skill set. It doesn't want to give away resources. It wants to consume everything for himself, right? The Holy Spirit says, nope, what we're going to do is we're going to turn you into a fountain, and I'm going to put you in this community. I'm going to put you in this neighborhood. I'm going to put you in someone's life, and I'm just going to bubble out of you in very natural ways. That's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Every time you submit to that. Sometimes it's on the spiritual side of prophecy and words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all those giftings we read about, the Apostle Paul writing to us about. But Jesus is simply saying, here's the foundation of what I want you to do. I want you to go make disciples. And the forefront of that is our evangelism strategy is something we call love and lead. The forefront of making disciples is missions, missionally. And nobody, I did not want to hear someone say, Ken, you are my mission project, right? I don't want to hear, nobody wants to hear, you know what? You're broken and I'm coming to help you because you're a mess and I'm just going to help clean you up. That's not a good strategy, right? In fact, what needs to happen is we go into our prayer closet and we pray, and such compassion comes over us that we don't even really notice all the brokenness. We just notice opportunities to love people. Amen. So what we found was our strategy was for evangelism was love and lead. So to go in and to do missions in someone's life just simply means I find a need, I see a need, and I start loving on them. I start loving that need. I start meeting that need. Why? Because until someone is loved, you don't earn the right to lead. And not least in Western culture. They've heard it all. They've seen it all. What they haven't felt was the authentic agape love flowing from heaven's gates down through this thing called man out into their life. It's unconditional love of God. So our strategy is love. And then we earn the right to lead them. This is the lead part in Matthew 28. Jesus is talking about leading them. But to go in, we've got to have a love aspect. And that's really what missions is about. Missions, M&Ms, right? This is our missions pack, right? Have they already given you guys these? No. You didn't get them yet? Well, you know, seek and you will find. That's all I got to say. What's happening? Maybe on the way out, you'll get these. But I had to get two packs because last week, I think I emptied the first pack before I got up here. So I had a little insurance this week. Mission work, yeah. These are not M&Ms. These are mission munchies is what they are, all right? They would no longer be M&Ms. They would be mission munchies. That's it. You know what it takes for missions to go in and change? It takes money and it takes muscle. M&M, baby. Money and muscle. Sometimes the Lord's going to use your money. Go to the grocery store, buy that food, cook that dish. Sometimes he's going to use your muscle to walk in and sit and listen, or whatever that looks like. Muscle, you are the muscle. As a church, we must express into our community, we must lead the way into our community and express love. And that's what many of our missions works. Next week, I'm going to come back and I'm going to just talk to you a little bit more about muscle and what we as a church have done in the money realm and how we've touched. But this week, I want to just talk to you about making an impact and the process of that. When we first started by just picking one ministry in the city and loving on that ministry. And many times as a young church here at City Light, we didn't duplicate the ministries. We would feed that ministry money And then in the seasons, we would have muscle. We would bring it up like this, and we would talk about what they're doing, and God would touch the hearts in the room, just certain hearts, not every heart. Because why? Because we ask you to ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you do, what he would have you give, right? So if you come to me and say, where in the city should I serve? I will say, well, I'll pray with you about that. Well, no, just tell me a place. Well, I can't just tell you a place. Why? Because I'm not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a place he wants you to touch. When? I don't know. Where? I don't know. But I do know the Lord wants to use you. It may be an organization. It may be an individual. It may be a neighbor. And your mission field may be right across the street from your house. Jesus, as we read through this scripture this morning, I want John chapter 4. I want to brief you on this. Now, I may not read this whole thing, but John chapter 4, this is the, how many of you guys have heard, how many of you have not heard, and you can just kind of like give me one of those Methodist amens. If you have not heard the story of, we got Methodist, amen. We got Lutheran, Pentecostal, Baptist. We're just interdenominational. We just love Jesus. Some pastor, you know how pastors can be brutal, you know? They said, Ken, you guys at City Light, what are you guys? And are you Baptist? No. Are you Pentecostal? No. Are you Methodist? No. You don't know what you are. And I said, yeah, kind of like Jesus. He wasn't any of those. Maybe we're like Jesus. Maybe that's who we are. Amen. Jesus, there's this story about the woman at the well. Now, I'm going to go back because y'all think I'm getting old and I'm losing my mind. Is there anybody who's not heard that? Nobody's heard? Anybody? All right, we're good. Everybody's heard about the story of the woman at the well. This is Samaria. He goes through Samaria. In fact, I have, and this came out of my library. I apologize in advance, but it is. You can see this map. All right, we're going to look at this map. Please look at this map. It's not as distorted as it would have been. But nonetheless, when you look at this map of Israel, you're getting just basically a tilted version of it. We're looking from the Dead Sea at the bottom, and we're looking north up to Galilee. What's weird is because if you go to the Dead Sea and go just to the left, you'll actually run into Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem sits up, so you're coming out of the Dead Sea, going all the way up to Jerusalem. And then when you leave Jerusalem and you head north, you go eventually going midway to the Sea of Galilee, which is up on this north side, and you get to this place called Shechem. You get to a place where the Samaritans live. Now, what's interesting about this place, you can take that map away because the shortest route is right through where that blue line was. And the Jewish people would go around that place. They would go all the way to the River Jordan and up back to Galilee. Or they would go out toward the coast, Mediterranean, and up. Why? Because Shechem, or the woman at the well where this story takes place, is in Samaria. Samaria is a group of people that were considered by the Jews, I'm just going to use kind of terminology that they would use, half-breeds. They called them half-breeds because when the Assyrians came in and took the northern kingdoms, they took a lot of Jewish people captive, but they brought in Assyrians and left them there so that the whole region didn't become ruined and taken over by marauders and what have you. And over time, the Assyrians intermarried with the Jewish people. Are you with me? Say amen. All right. And so when the Jewish people came home and established Jerusalem, these intermarried, which they weren't supposed to do, they intermarried, that we didn't want nothing to do with those folks, right? And so that's kind of how that split happened. And in Jesus' time, the religious leaders, the religious folks would not go through Samaria. They wouldn't go through that part of town. Are you with me? Yes. All right, so let's bring it down to 2021. There are certain people they didn't want nothing to do with. They didn't like their jokes. They didn't like the way they cooked. They didn't like the way they looked. They didn't like anything about them. Didn't agree with their religion. Didn't agree with their worship. Didn't nothing. In fact, they were just plain disgusted with those people. Jesus went right to them. The odd thing was, it wasn't even his mission. But compassion took him there. And he took the Holy Spirit, drove Jesus to this place. And what's interesting about this place is it would not have even been there, but Jacob, one of the patriarchs in the family, Jacob goes there and he digs a well. Out of all the places, here he digs a well. And there are these people that assemble around the well. Jesus now goes there in John chapter 4, and he ministers to a woman. And verse 1 says, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property of Jacob. That Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from the journey, sat down at the well, and it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came and drew water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And it's two things going on there. One, a Samaritan and a woman. She asked him, for Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus went and sat at a well that Jacob, hundreds of years earlier, had dug. And he began to minister to a woman. Had Jacob not obeyed the Lord and obeyed his father and bought land and dug the well, Jesus would have no city to minister to no woman. The process of obeying God means sometimes you have to dig a well that you will not live to see the fulfillment of its purpose. There are mamas in this place who need to stay on their knees praying for a grandchild that they may not live to see that grandchild come into the faith. But by faith, they dig the well. There are daddies in this place that need to go into their homes and establish a ministry of prayer or a ministry of devotion. They need to start in their home with doing something for God that gives Him glory and refreshes the family. They may feel awkward about it. They may feel unqualified about it. And they may not know what it will bring. But one day, a grandchild may be ministered to because that father was obedient to dig a well in his home. Amen. Jacob actually dug this well. Jesus goes there and he ministers to a woman. And I want you to see this in Acts chapter 8. This is what's fascinating about this same spot, is that Philip goes to this place called Samaria. You got to understand, when Jesus went there, he ministered to a woman, and through the woman, a revival happened in the town, right? They heard good news. Philip goes to this place. Now, you understand, Philip was one of those chosen. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, I'll get into this later. He's one of those chosen. Stephen is stoned. Philip goes to Samaria, and this is what happens in Samaria. Philip went down to a city. This is Acts chapter 8, verse 5. In Samaria, and proclaimed the Messiah to them. In other words, he's teaching the gospel. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said, and as they listened and saw the signs he was performing, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame and healed. So there was great joy in the city. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, As he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So he's gone into the city. He's preached the gospel. They've come to Christ. They've received it. He's begun to baptize them. Now, verse 14, midway there, part B says, they sent Peter and John to them. Amen. So Philip goes, Jacob digs, Jesus imparts the word. Philip goes into this land and begins to minister where somebody else, this is the next wave. Amen. Philip goes, he begins to minister. There's a new wave of revival in Samaria. Now, let me just stop for a minute and I'm gonna go back. We're talking about a Jewish movement. Jacob, Jewish. Jesus, Jewish, sent to the Jewish people. Philip comes and he begins to minister outside. So all of a sudden now this thing has moved from Jews to Gentiles. So he's going for a first wave of the gospel into an area that is meant for the revival to come through. It's meant for the gospel to be heard again. Now watch this. Philip goes in. He begins to preach. People begin to follow Jesus. And then this is what happened. Peter and John came to them, verse 15. After they went down there, they prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 17 says, then Peter and John laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. What am I saying? What is going on? You go from a man coming into an area that's dry, dirt, rocks, nothing, and he digs a well. God sees his people obeying his word that this is the land I've given you. So he sends his son, who is the word of God. He is bread of life. He is the light in darkness. He is the living water. Come on, somebody. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He comes in and he begins to minister. Philip begins to follow Jesus. He comes back into this area and afresh and anew. Now he begins to declare again the gospel, not just that was coming, but the fulfillment of he didn't just come. It's not just him, the Messiah. He's the resurrected one. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now there's more. There is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John comes. What are you saying, Pastor Ken? I'm saying God's calling us to the mission field of Ocala, and some part of Ocala, maybe we have to dig wells. Some part of it may be the first time somebody's ever experienced Christ. Some part of it may be we've heard Jesus before. I used to follow Christ, and it's a fresh baptizing that Philip brought. And some parts may need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what you've heard about the Holy Spirit. He got a bad rap. I'm going to tell you. He got narrowed down to tongues and interpretation. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know he's so much more. The Holy Spirit is the one who's able to empower you and break porn addiction and break alcoholism and break drug addiction and break anger. He's able to take you and to change you and to metamorphose you and change you into the image of Jesus. Is God able to do great things like prophesying, signs and wonders, tongues, interpretation, all those things? He's still the same God of the first century that he is today. He'll do that, but it'll be him that does that. You just go after Jesus. You go after an impartation of his power. Let me tell you why. I'm going to be a pastor right here real quick. Are you all right with that? Because this is where you slide your feet back. This is where I step on stuff. The problem when I say you're the missionary and your community, your neighborhood is the mission field, the problem you pull back on is because you need an empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point. The moment you say, I receive the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, empower me to be a missionary. Hey, if you're a follower of Christ, you need power to live this life in this world today. Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, all you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, I need you in my life to pray great prayers of faith. If I love doctors, I mean, I worked with them and I go to them, I support them. Amen. But I also love a healing prayer. I also love people of faith. And listen, if you've gotten a bad report for your son, your daughter, your grandmother, grandfather, father, you may need an impartation of power to pray faith for the healing of your loved one. Emily, we prayed for you the other night because doctors have said one thing, medicine says one thing, they're telling you truth, they're telling you facts, right? But we were praying by truth that by his stripes you are healed. Amen? You see how that works? I need the impartation of the Holy Spirit to do that. The way we're going to take Ocala is absolutely love. It's absolutely discipleship. But it's also absolutely asking the Holy Spirit to empower us to be more than overcomers. Empower us to do things that we cannot do in ourselves, and do things that we cannot do in our home, and do things we cannot do in our community. The way we win a city and the way we are missional and the expression of it is trust the process that God's calling us, and there is a season to dig wells, and it's dry and it's hot and we are thirsty, but we're going after living water. We're going after something. Trust the process that when you have dug the well and you don't see any signs of activity around you, that God's raising up a city that could be your family. That could be somebody in your neighborhood. God's raising up a city. Trust the process that one day it might be you. It may be your son. It may be your daughter. He's going to send Jesus in the word, and out of your life will come rivers of living water. Out of your bosom will come a word of hope called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust the process that one day there's going to come a radical Philip in your life, and he's going to preach the power of the gospel afresh and anew. Trust the process that though you may not understand it in your spirit, you know it's true. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you, empower your son or daughter, empower your granddaughter, and there's going to be a revival of breaking the curse of the enemy and breaking the strongholds, and you will live in freedom. Hallelujah. Would you stand?
Amen. Well, we hope that this message has brought you hope and encouragement, and it was just what you needed for today. If you're joining us today and we can partner with you in prayer in any way, it would be our honor. Please reach out to us by visiting our website, mycitylight.org. And lastly, if the Holy Spirit has laid it on your heart to give today, you can do that by visiting mycitylight.org and go to the Giving tab, or text any amount to 84321. Be blessed.